In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swung, hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Veritek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Brian Shackman here, John Senecal, episode 94. At the time of this podcast, Aaron Judge still at 60. The Red Sox didn't pitch to him, which I was wrong.
He only walked five times in the series, though.
Yeah, but that's five. I mean,
we were putting it at 10 at the beginning, my son and I.
Yeah,
right?
Well, he walked three times in the first
opening game. Yeah, but kind of after that, he didn't. He got into a couple, but
you think? Well, I think that one deep out
to center
was a home run in 13 parks, yeah, according to
it was
the
like 405
statisticians
he hit it or something.
The bottom line is
statisticians.
Whatever the people
the statcasters,
whoever they are, the Sox did not put up a fight against the Yankees, which we can talk about. The Sox season. Nobody cares. By the way, nobody cares.
Nobody's interested in it. In the kid who pitched on Sunday, the Bello.
Yeah,
Bello, Bayo,
Breon Bayo. I think
Bayo,
it's,
like not Scott Bayo, but
no, it's
spelled differently.
We think it's Bello, but they often say Bayo.
He looks pretty good. Good stuff.
He doesn't give up home runs.
He's got good stuff. Unlike Cole. What is it with Cole pitching at Fenway? Like, they should just not pitch him there. Like, that's like his kryptonite.
Yeah, he's one of those, like, I remember Mussina used to kill the Red Sox, and like, I feel like with Cole, if you don't get to him early, he's fine.
Right.
And Mussina was the same way. Like, if you get to Mussina early, you can knock
him
out.
They always give you the length, and it's like you have to get to him early, but something about Fenway and Cole, it's like,
he
my
can't
God.
Pitch there. But anyway,
awful.
So let's basically, the Yankees, they're going, the division is set. They're going
to win their division.
Yes, that's set. And then it's a question of who are they going to draw, and where do you go from there? And
can they beat the Astros?
And that's really what it comes down to. I mean, I know the Indians will be pesky. I don't think they'll have...
Indians are scary, though. They got some very good pitching.
The Guardians. But the bottom line is everything's in alignment. I mean, the ALCS, I think it'll be Houston and New York, and the NL, I mean, you would assume... You'd think it'd be Atlanta. I mean, it's either going to be Atlanta, New York, or the Dodgers. I mean, the Dodgers.
That's a big deal, though, who it either is, either New York or Atlanta. It's a way bigger deal now in that division.
Why do you
say? If you win the East, that way you don't have to face the Dodgers most
likely. Oh, yeah. That division, this isn't a podcast based on the Mets, but the Mets play the Braves next weekend, three-game set, but will determine who wins.
Now, it's like a game and a half,
yeah,
I believe.
So that could easily get it done. So the Yankees, in terms of the team, is set. So let's talk about Judge. And you know, he walked five times in the four-game series. They would have called the game sooner if he were not slated to maybe come back up when it came to the Sunday night game. But do you think he's feeling... pressure now? Is it officially?
I think there is some pressure, obviously. I mean, how could there not be? But it's what I think is just strange is like how they're, it's always got to be like a show of like, oh, look who's up in the booth. It's like every time they show the booth, it's like Maris's family gets bigger.
Right.
Like every game, it's like, oh my God, it started with like the two sons,
right,
and now it's like 17 people up there. And like every, now that they're not vaccinated or not doing the vax, they'll have like 30 people in Toronto probably. It's just like every game. I think that's a little strange. Obviously, yes, I think he's feeling a little bit of pressure, a little bit of frustration. You saw that on the check swing call where you don't see much ever emotion from Judge, and
right,
you've seen a little bit more of it lately. Listen, what we got? We're about two weeks left, 10 games, something like that. You know, this is when you start thinking to yourself, if you haven't hit a home run in the last six games, are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? And the pressure starts mounting, and the pressure starts mounting. So he'll sit there all day and say, no, there's no pressure, because he just thinks about winning and being in the moment and all the cliche talks. But how can there not be pressure? How can there not?
Do you think he'll do it?
I think he'll do it. I think going to Toronto will help. But at the same time, that is going to be a very tenuous series, right? It's not like he's going up there just to have a beach day, right? So it's going to be tough. But I think...
You've softened your call, because initially you said he would hit way more than
61. I thought he would hit Mario, because he was on kind of a little bit of a jump. But I do think he'll still break it. I still think he could hit 65, but I mean, it's going to be tough with 10 games or so to go. It's a big mountain to climb, and like we've always said, you got to be pitched too, right?
Right, and also you would think that if it weren't for this, Aaron Boone would probably rest him a couple days.
Yeah, he's not going to get rested.
Right, that's but the point is, like, if you get the division clinched and you can't change what the playoffs are, you would rest him if he wasn't chasing history.
I don't know if DHing him helps him. He looked like the pitcher that was going to throw in a no hitter last night. Like nobody wanted to be around him. He just looked weird in the dugout sitting there, seeing him.
Yeah, I think and I was saying this to Matt Sorois, who produces this, who's been on the podcast many times. I mean, the energy around it's different. And obviously, when it was Sosa and Maguire, it was kind of magical because they were doing it at the same time and there was a back and forth and they really kind of embraced it. I think he probably wants to break it, but I don't get the sense that he's embracing it. Like, I don't think that there's a fun. It's not fun. He's not having fun doing this.
You're not seeing like the
he's not a fun guy anyway.
Right, exactly. Like you compared him to Jeter. He's kind of boring and pedestrian. But like, listen, when you had two guys going at it with Maguire and Sosa, those guys were playing each other. They were playing against each other. They were hugging each other and meeting each other at the plate.
Now that I look back on it,
right? That's what I'm saying. It's like sleazy looking back on it now, right? Yeah. You know, it's like.
It's embarrassing.
Shaking the politician's hand who went to jail.
Yeah, I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed that I was in. I remember we went to, because I think when they did it, Maguire could have hit 70 like in Boston, and we went. We got tickets, and the secondary market for that game was insane.
It was nuts. Well, that was bringing baseball back. We all know that. I mean, but that was such a different feel. I don't think you can compare the two. I just don't think you can because it was two people. It was just two people.
And we stayed on football the whole night last night. So, I mean, even in a dog of a game. And so the energy definitely is different. But I do want to point out, so I don't want to transition from Judge.
And he is still leading barely by the an average for the Triple Crown. So
I think he's going to hit more than 61, and I think he'll probably win the Triple Crown.
But he won't win the MVP.
No, he will. I mean,
You finally are saying.
No,
it?
I mean, I think. Listen, I think Ohtani, in terms of all around baseball, I don't know how somebody who can pitch that way and hit that way isn't the best all around player in baseball because he does everything. But I understand why he won't win the MVP, and I understand the argument for Aaron Judge. But I can't imagine someone who can hit every day and get you a W every 4 days isn't the most valuable person in baseball.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think the award's fine to go to Judge. I just think that what Ohtani does is a different conversation. It's almost like a different plane.
Maybe the way, you know, the athletes are coming up nowadays, maybe in the next 10 years, the next generation, you will see a different award in Major League Baseball for that type of player that can do both. Because I would anticipate that there's going to be more players like him coming from other countries and our own country, not to mention you have the option of being a closer, too. I mean, you're a good pitcher, and you can throw one inning and still get four at-bats because you can still hit now with the Ohtani rule.
It's so interesting.
It changes the game.
It's so interesting you bring this point up because I haven't talked about it, but I do hope that what Ohtani does leads, you know, because all this Moneyball crap has ruined the baseball.
Specialization, pitcher only.
It has ruined the game, and I hate it. But I would love it if people got behind not making these kids at 18 commit one to the other. I would
younger than 18. Younger than 18.
I would love to. Well, you got a guy signing out of high school who's a huge hitter, and he's also the number one pitcher on his high school team.
But now he's just going to be a pitcher in college.
So that's why I say 18, because that's, you know, when they get drafted out of high school, there's very few kids in high school who don't pitch and hit. But what I would say is I would love to see a pattern of people doing both. Yeah. I think it would be awesome for the sport. I do think it would be the type of thing you can.
Well, maybe that's what MLB's doing with that Ohtani rule. I mean, that's changed. That's
what is the rule? What is the rule?
Now you can hit and pitch at the same time and keep your, if you come out of the game, you can keep your spot in the lineup hitting. So
that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I wanted to bring this. John Senecal, Brian Shackman here, episode 94 of Fan Base, a deep dive in the greatest rivalry in sports. We talked about how your call on Judge has softened. How you initially thought he would break it by a wide margin, and now you're just sort of semi-confident he'll break it. No. Let me finish. But when it came to Albert Pujols, you kind of made the call. And we want to go in the Wayback Machine, I think it's what, back in April?
Yeah, April 25th, I believe, episode 73.
When he was, what was he at, like 680 or something like that?
681. I mean, remember, the season started a week and a half late, like seven days late. So this is right after like the first or second week of the season.
So
he's back with the Cardinals, obviously. Yep.
So this is the deal. So you know, obviously, Pujols had that 2-home run game the other day and got to 700. Let's go back and listen to our conversation about it back in April.
And the other thing that's crazy about this list, the top three, with Pujols being the active leader with 3,308, Pujols has got 681 home runs, dude.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like, if you look at his numbers, if you can't tell me and argue for him being like the top three right-handed hitters ever in baseball, top five for sure. Look at his numbers, dude.
And the thing is,
absolutely insane.
He's been so pedestrian like the last 5 years.
And you don't notice it.
You forget about
it. You don't notice it.
But I mean, his prime years, and again, like, there's questions over his cleanliness, but never been implicated.
He's going to hit 700 home runs.
You think he'll get 700?
Yes. He hit 38 2 years ago.
I don't know. I think
it was last year. I think he hit 38.
I don't know.
2 years ago. Whatever.
But let's go back to 3,000 hits.
He'll get 700.
All right, fine. You get credit. Good for you.
I got to brush up on my when he hit 40 home runs or whatever.
Yeah, right.
I was off by that. But I think he hit like 40, like 5 years, 4 years before
so
that.
So he hit the last, I have it right here, in terms of home runs, the last time he hit 40 was in 2015.
Yeah.
He hit 40.
So that was like 6 years early.
And then he followed that up with 31, 23, 19, 23.
No, 22 years, right?
Six. He hit six home runs in a shortened season in 2020. And then in 2021, he hit total of 17.
So coming into this season at 681, that was a tall order for him to 700.
I didn't think he'd do it.
He needed the at-bats, right? He needed the at-bats. The DH helped.
Yes.
But listen, he had a 22-year career, right? Do you think anybody else is going to do that?
So this is what I did in advance of this conversation. I have the list of active home run leaders.
You pulled the list. All right. Yes. Trout's got to be up there, right?
Trout is five. He's 30 years old. He's at 347.
Okay, so he plays 10 more years at 35 home runs a year.
There's no way he's going to play that.
Exactly.
Pace.
That's what I'm saying.
Because he won't be healthy.
You need to hit 35 home runs a year for a 20-year career do that.
So let's tick it down a little bit. So we have Pujols at 700. Miguel Cabrera at 506.
Retiring.
Yep. So he's done. Nelson Cruz at 459.
Roided.
But there's no chance if he's at 459. There's no chance. He's 41 years old. Stanton, Giancarlo Stanton, at 375 at the age of 32. There's no.
He won't play past his Yankee contract.
When is that done?
2027.
So that's five years?
It seems so far away.
He might not make the end of that contract,
yeah,
in my opinion. So just health-wise, I don't root against anyone's health. And then you have Trout at five at 347.
So he's the first one in conversation.
Correct. But still, I mean, I would say that based on that back condition and all that other stuff.
And
like
COVID killed it. That hurt him. That hurt him a good chunk.
So he'd have to hit 350. He'd have to hit 35 home runs for 10 years.
And he's at what this year? I'm guessing he's at like 30,
low 30s.
35 probably. He's right at 35, I bet. He went on that tear where he hit like 8 home runs in a week.
Well, let's just do a quick, so we make sure we have the stats properly. I'll tell you that in terms of his home runs, he's at 37.
37. So he's on pace. So he has to do exactly what he's done this year for the next 10 years.
That's pretty amazing. And then you go down the list. Joey Votto at 6. He's done.
Done.
Cano, he's done. Longoria doesn't hit home runs anymore.
He's
at 329. He's 36 years old. Then you get Justin Upton, 34 years old. Goldschmidt, who's great. He's 34. So, Arenado's at 299. But the thing is, Arenado is 31 years old.
So let's talk this. Who would you think would have a shot of guys that are really young, like the Sotos or the Guerreros?
Okay, so to go down that risk curve, boy, I don't.
Or put Devers in that conversation.
He doesn't hit enough home runs.
Well, he's 25.
He's more likely to be,
Soto's 23.
3,000 hits. Those guys.
Soto's got probably, what, like 160, something like that? 150 home runs?
I'm trying to find him. I mean, I see.
But I'm going by his age, right? I'm thinking his age.
No, I get it. Like, if a guy's got, 150 at the age of 25, then you'd be into it. I don't see any of those guys.
I would say Soto's got to be close to buck 50 in home runs.
That's fine.
That would be my guess.
Juan Soto. I don't see. I can't tell you it'll never happen again, but I don't see it. I don't see it happening. I just don't. I don't see. So Soto has, in terms of home runs,
124.
Yeah, and
he's at 26 this year.
There's no way. There's no way.
I don't think he's a high enough average home run hitter. Now, if he would have went to the Yankees and batted a lefty, he might have a shot there in the Yankee Stadium. But still,
but even still, he's hit. I mean, He's got.
But that's my point. 26 tall order,
this year.
Right?
Yeah,
I mean, crazy tall order. Vlad has about the same amount of home runs. He's about the same age. I think he's got maybe 10 less.
Listen,
there.
If you hit 30 for 20 years, you're at 600.
Right.
I mean, 700 is insane.
Yeah.
It is insane. So you have to have longevity and the power numbers. And listen,
so he is. When you think about it, Albert Pujols is probably, you know, one of the top five right-handed hitters in baseball history.
It just seems so weird that he's cranking them out. I have to tell you, I'm not making any claims or making any accusations. I just find it to be
and the
strange.
Guy who got his home run ball didn't give it back to Albert. He's got it. So who knows? Maybe Albert will get it eventually. But the guy got it authenticated, and he's
between
sitting
that and Judge. I mean, we asked this before, but what would you do?
Keep it. Give it back or keep it? I mean, I'd want to get something for it, right? I mean, if anybody who catches it's going to get something, right? So you got to capitalize on it somehow.
But you wouldn't authenticate it, keep it, and then auction it off?
I think something like a 62 home run ball or a 700 is auctionable. I don't think necessarily Judge's 60th home run.
Would you keep it to auction it? That's what I'm asking. Would you say the Yankees gave you the requisite crap, signed this and signed that?
I'm going to say, given where I am, if I did that right now in the state where my life is right now with kids going to college and all that stuff,
you'd
I think I'd
out.
Keep it and I would hold out and sell
even
it.
If
because
you
know you're going to get at least a couple hundred grand for it.
You're going to take a crap ton of heat from the public. You don't care. People have been hating you forever.
Man, I've been wearing that Yankees stuff and getting dogged on for years. Yeah, what's a little bit more, you know?
I don't know what I would do. I don't know. I feel like the auction market is a risk because it could end up being not worth that much. So I would probably try to...
But, you know, I think it's the home run, though. Like, the kid that got Judge's 60th, you know, he got his picture, he got some autographed material. Like, that's a life, you know, memory, and you got some cool stuff. But it's also not a home run that's super significant, right?
Right.
So that might be all you're going to get.
62 is the only one that matters, in my opinion.
62, and then if you, you know, 700 is just a benchmark for someone. But American League home run record is a huge deal. I mean, the Hall of Fame would want that ball. The Hall of Fame would pay you for that ball.
He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. You've been listening to Fanbase Deep Dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.